Smoke and Mirrors, Nevada's first state-approved marijuana lounge, just opened at Thrive Dispensary. That's right behind Resorts World. If you've ever wanted to get high on some fancy cocktails in public, now you can. Today on CityCast Las Vegas, I'm here with my co-host David Figler and Hey Las Vegas newsletter editor Rob Catchell-Reese, and we'll find out if our city's first weed lounge gives us Amsterdam vibes or if it'll be a total flop. It's Monday, March 11th. I'm Sarah Lohman, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about. Gents, you went, you were there, you imbibed, correct?
Yeah, hey, we broed out.
We sure did.
That's great. I mean, and I have to say, it does feel a little funny to talk about this because we are all still used to a world where this is highly illegal, right? And so now here we are talking about a legal, like, marijuana lounge and THC cocktail lounge on a public podcast. Does that feel strange to either of you?
It does feel strange to me. And now I get to explain to my parents that this is a real job and we were actually there in the name of journalism and research.
Yeah.
Research.
Okay. So you get your ride shares, you show up, walk me through the whole thing.
Well, it's a highly licensed endeavor. And this is the first one under the state purview. Of course, people who know about the cannabis scene in Las Vegas know that Nuwu, which is an indigenous spot, has had a lounge for some time.
But I didn't realize that.
Oh,
so, of course,
yeah.
If it's on reservation land, then, state laws not apply there.
And a drive-through window as well.
All the rules apply somewhat differently. So this is the first one that the state sanctioned under the cannabis rules. And, we've talked about it on the pod before on the process of how we got there. And sure enough, a lot of rules in place. So this one is attached to a dispensary. It's part of Thrive Dispensary.
Sure, it's a big one.
And it's in the same building. So you walk in and you're greeted by essentially a maitre d'.
A host?
Say, a maitre d'ab. A host. A host is right there. And they lay out the rules for you. They actually have a checklist to make sure you understand. They check your ID, and your ID gets scanned in just like when you go to a dispensary.
Okay.
So they could track your usage, et cetera, under the rules. And it's a cash-only place. So
interesting.
So you go in and, you pass through glass doors, and I found immediately the comfiest couch, set up shop, and then Rob arrived. And also our producer, Layla Mohammed, popped in.
Was there also growing out. It's true.
Growing out with us all, yeah.
So velvet couch, this is what I'm envisioning.
Yeah, it was a nice couch.
No, velvet.
Super nice couch. Velvety. Velvety couch.
Tea. Color?
I did not. It was green. I did not, as it should be. I did not do a sample DNA test to find out what material was, but I would say it was soft and it was plush.
These are important to me. All right, Rob, can you give us a little bit more of the interior design, the general vibe of the inside?
I'd say it's a nice contemporary space. Some of that furniture kind of borders on that vintage, mid-century, modern kind of design vibe. They got some fancy light fixtures. They're still working some things out. I know they have a paint job in the works. But you can see where it was an empty space and then kind of built to be a bar.
Okay.
And it's comfortable. It's I think in my story about it, I said you wouldn't go out of your way to go there on ambiance alone. But while you're there, it's really nice. It's really comfortable. The staff is super friendly. They're kind of more based on hospitality as opposed to let's find some bud tenders and have them pass some things out.
Just going to a fancy cocktail bar.
Yeah. Not that bud tenders can't be hospitable.
They're usually
as well.
Very nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's a nice space. And we hung out there for a while and I think we were very comfortable there.
Crowded? What was the vibes?
Well, we got there a little bit early, about 5 o'clock or so, and it was steady, but from what I understand, they get packed on weekends, Friday and Saturday nights, and reservations are recommended and encouraged, and you can make them on open table, just like you would at any bar or restaurant.
Great.
Just to set the picture a little bit more, there is a DJ station up there, and I guess later at night they have some local named DJs that pop in and do some sets, which is cool. People with some following, I would imagine. While we were there, just playing very pleasant music at a decent level. Conversation was easy. The music definitely added to the ambiance. It was a nice mix. There's a full bar setup as well, like you would see in any restaurant. where there's just like bar top and there's seating at the bar. And there's a bartender behind there mixing up those mocktails.
So no alcohol. THC.
No alcohol is allowed. Mm-hmm. And then you have the option, and I think we'll get to it as we go through the menu a little bit, that if you want to ingest your cannabis vis-a-vis a cocktail, they will make a mocktail, which you could have unleaded, mm-hmm. or at various levels of infusion of a cannabis product.
Okay.
And so you could get it in a 2.5 milligram, a 5 milligram, or they had an off-menu option of a 10 Ooh. Milligram to go into your mocktail.
And another good insider tip.
Yeah, and the price range starts at, I believe it was 15 without the additives, and then about $4 for every 2.5 grams. Every 2.5 milligrams.
Yeah, so it was 19 for the 2.5, and then 23 for the 5.
So walk me through the menu a little bit. Like, what things stood out for you? And then ultimately, why did you decide to order what you decided to order?
We got different flavored cocktails.
Okay, Rob, what was your cocktail?
So the one I got was called Evolve, and it was described as a hot toddy but chilled, which is a pretty good description of it. It's it was kind of an apple, vanilla, cinnamon flavor. There was even some a cinnamon stick for garnish. These weren't pre-batched cocktails. You can see the bartender making them behind the counter. And they infuse them with it's almost like this little shot. I believe it's made by a company called Ayr, A-Y-R. Mm-hmm. But it's like a little clear liquid, looks like a shot, and that's where the actual THC infusion is. And then they pour that into the drink where they're mixing it with other ingredients, which include non-alcoholic spirits. I should even say it's non-alcoholic spirits. It's more like non-alcoholic mixers.
Okay.
Plus some other ingredients. And we were both impressed at it. You know, these are pretty good mocktails on their own, whether they're infused or not. They had a nice complexity of flavors. And I would sip on one anyway, even if it wasn't infused.
David, what was yours?
Mine was called the Born This Way. And like Rob said, I mean, the flavor profiles were fantastic because I think they've tapped into that whole NA world of, you know, faux, like aperitif. And Amaro, too. So this is a company called Sobreo that they utilize there, S-O-B-R-E-O. And my drink had French gentian in it, which is probably familiar to people who drink Campari and that sort of thing.
Yeah, bittering. It's a lot in bitters, too. Yeah.
And then they also had, like, from that same company, an Indonesian cinnamon traditional bitter in it.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, so it did come together as this really nice fruit, gentle, complex floral taste, and it was delicious. And you know, you can't taste the cannabis in it. It was just a good cocktail.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, mm-hmm. So totally unnoticeable. So, did you get high?
We both went low end on the amount, and I think we both were around the same size, and I think that we both got hit around the same time, which was about, I'm gonna say, 45 minutes to an hour later.
Ooh, so you could have mistakenly ordered a second cocktail in that time. Like the whole, like, it's not working.
Oh, we know better.
Yeah,
but,
okay, fair.
Know, we know it's going to kick at some point.
I would describe it as a modest high. It wasn't an overwhelming, foggy
True.
High. Again, we did the low dose, 2.5 milligrams.
Okay.
But I think I felt it the strongest after we left and went over to Hard Hat Lounge for some burgers afterwards.
Yes.
That's right. I noticed it the most, but it wasn't an overwhelming high, and we did take ride chairs home just in case. And most important, when I came home, my wife said I did not smell like cannabis at all. And we should probably mention they are very proud of their filtration system that operates at the lounge in general.
Because they are offering bongs and a classic joint as well. So there are people smoking near you.
Yeah, there are items on the menu that allow people to get flower or pre-rolls. And the flower can come in, you know, with a side of paper, a side of a pipe, or a side of a bong. And we were told that they, you know, have a lot of that equipment to make sure that everyone gets it fresh. And then they said that they, you know, are very, very cautious about making sure everything's sanitized, and they go through all the protocols to make sure that the next day all that equipment is good to go again.
It's not any grosser to me than, like, people put their mouths on cups, you know? Like, we're
100%.
We go to places that people put their mouths on already.
Vegas.
Oh, Vegas.
I think it is worth pointing out, though, in relation to the flour that they have on the menu.
Yeah.
You can get it in an eighth or you can get it in a gram. I think the most important rule in an experience that's full of lots of rules is that you cannot take any of this to go.
Right.
So even though this is a dispensary operation, the retail component is next door.
No doggy bags.
Oh, that makes sense.
Whatever is bought in the smoking lounge stays in the smoking lounge. So you cannot take it with you legally.
And if you're going with friends, which I would highly recommend, it does not seem like a fun way to go by yourself, per se, unless you're a person who likes talking to a bartender. I mean, I guess that's the vibe.
I do like an early cocktail at a bar, but probably not a THC cocktail at a bar.
Because you're not going to get hit right away. I don't know. I mean, it's tasty. I mean, it could be your experience, but I think Rob and I agreed that...
Well, who would you take?
A coworker is fantastic. Somebody that you want to just kind of chat with for a little bit and hang out.
He was
very conducive. Yes, of course. He was conducive to conversation. I mean, you could go and get that eighth of an ounce. I mean, and you could spend between $50 and $75 there and, you know, get the bong for the table. And a bong for the table, please. And so, you know, that could be fun too. Did it have like a super vibe that was unexpected to me? No. I mean, it was a little sterile. It was very clean. There was sports on the TV that was there, which isn't always my favorite, but another TV had some like trippy images on it, which is also cool, but
funny.
They don't need that. You know, I don't know what makes it better. I know that the, you know, one of the consultants there, a friend of the pod who's been on here as well, Chris Laporte was there, and he's kind of like me, an old video game head. And I would love if I was there for a little while, drinking those cocktails, maybe at a little higher level, and then go hit my NFL Blitz or my NBA Jam or one of the old school console games. I would probably be happier, but I'm very niche. I don't know how many people would go there for that, for a, you know, a high arcade. High score, I would call it.
High score. Now we're talking. Yeah. Rob, like, who would you envision like taking to a place like this?
My wife definitely would not be interested in a place like that. But I think she would appreciate the vibe just because she's not into cannabis. But I think she would appreciate like the vibe because, you know, they did do a good job putting this lounge together. It's nice. It's comfortable.
So it could be a good date place.
Yeah. And it's also a good place if you had a DD who wanted to hang.
Have a mocktail.
You know.
Yeah. If you're meeting somebody on the strip, this location is incredibly convenient to the strip. It's walkable from Resorts World. I even parked my car at the Resorts World lot before taking the rideshare home and coming back the next day to get the car.
That's amazing because nothing is walkable from Resorts World.
Right. And, you know, we even mentioned how there's some other dispensaries in the area, like Planet 13 is pretty close by too. But I don't think it's quite as walkable as Thrive is. I mean, it's literally right there across the street at Sammy Davis Jr. Drive. And I mean, if it's not on the strip, but it might as well be.
So, it's really, really close to the strip. So how was that made possible? There's a lot of legislation around marijuana in Nevada. So what went on there?
Oh, I can answer that one because at one point the Thrive dispensary, before it became Thrive Dispensary, just when it was a space, I had something to do with that licensing process. That said, the resort corridor successfully lobbied to have sort of a buffer zone around there. And there were a couple of places that had been grandfathered in. New dispensaries in that area would probably be much more difficult than the ones that were pre-existing. And then the cannabis lounge rules allowed it to be attached to an existing dispensary. Mm-hmm. There were limitations throughout. I mean, the CCB or the Cannabis Control Board, their processes and rules are very arcane and very deep. Some might even say dark. But, you know, suffice to say that there will be a limited number of options that are pretty close to the resort corridor, and certainly Smoke and Mirrors is right there.
Interesting. You know, Rob, you've had some great insider tips like the off-menu options and, you know, make a reservation. Anything else that we've missed as far as like insider tips for the best experience?
Yes, definitely. As mentioned, it's cash only, so be ready for that. But they do have an ATM, and the service fee for the ATM is $2.
Oh, it's not bad.
Bless them.
That's very fair.
No, that's like admirable.
Yeah.
I would say that, you know, whatever you want to say about the cannabis industry, good or bad, that is an opportunity they could have exploited and they did not. So good on them.
Yeah.
And also, they do not have food currently.
Yeah.
They're going to eventually, they're talking about maybe introducing something, maybe have someone do a little in-house catering via a food truck or something. Not food trucks outside necessarily, but having some sort of food available.
Okay.
And they've also talked about infusions. So they may have something like THC-infused dipping sauces that you use with charcuterie or something else.
I've actually got I have a cookbook from the 70s called Super Mother's Cooking with Weed Cookbook. So
nice.
If you are listening out there, smoke and mirrors, I got some weed meatball recipes for you. They're pretty good.
I sense a pop-up dinner experience in the future.
I think we're going to see restaurants take advantage of these lounge licenses as long as they could sort it all out with the health district and like very arduous point of sale systems that are required because cannabis is involved. But, you know, look, hats off to Smoke and Mirrors. They're the first one under this regime. They played it fairly safe, but also they're very competent in what they've pulled off. I don't think that people who go there in any way will be disappointed. Maybe they're not at blow you away yet,
but
the product
learning
and the service and all that stuff, I mean, right off the bat, solid, excellent.
But just maybe plan for dinner after, right? You're going to end up really hungry.
Well, again, you know, if you got a designated driver or you're doing rideshare, there are plenty of options, not just on the strip, but behind the strip. And you're not terribly far from the Arts District, so there's going to be a lot of food options over that
Resorts
way, too.
Resorts World has and great food, Hard Hat Lounge, great burgers.
Next to it is a fairly storied Mexican restaurant called El Dorado. Touts itself as GMO-free, also touts itself as delicious, and I would agree with that.
I mean, and also this is all just to hold you off until we get investors for our connected all-you-can-eat buffet idea.
Yes.
Which will be brilliant. So, I mean, okay, big questions, like, did Las Vegas need a marijuana lounge?
Yes.
I think so. I mean, think about all the tourists who come here and they are just told, oh, it's, you know, it's legal, it's recreational. All you need to have is an ID. So anybody can buy it if you're 21 and older, but not anybody can consume it. And the hotels, especially if they have a casino attached, don't want to risk gaming licenses. They don't want to get in trouble. So you don't want people smoking. And we've smelled the smoke in parking garages. We've seen it filter through Las Vegas.
And we've seen the signs. Mm-hmm. The signs that say, no smoking of marijuana in our garages, please.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this makes it legal. And when I was there and I got there first, I was chatting up some people who were just kind of in there smoking pre-rolls next to me.
Mm-hmm.
They were visitors. They're like, yeah, we just want to start our Vegas night out over here because we heard about it. And it is, again, attached to a dispensary.
I think it's worth mentioning that if you do drive there, the parking lot is a no-tow zone for 24 hours, which I think is a legal thing. And so if you feel like, okay, I've come here, I've had a little too much, leave the car, take a ride share. It's not going to cost much. Come back and get it.
Bars take note.
Seriously.
You won't get towed. And I think that's a good thing to be aware of when you're going in.
So should all Las Vegans feel invested in this lounge and lounges to come, even for those of us who don't partake?
Sure. I give it a thumbs up. They pulled it off. You know, it's just the start. And I can't wait to see what both they do and others who get these very precious licenses do with the concept. I think it could be a lot of fun.
Rob, what do you think? Is this important for our city?
Smoke and Mirrors has set a really good precedent for others to follow. It's a nice space. It's comfortable. You don't feel like you're in some creepy thing or doing something illicit or something bad or, you know, it's just like a nice open space. You got windows facing the lobby with these jellyfish lights that bob up and down. And, you know, they have TV on, there's sports there. Everyone's very friendly, and I think it's something that's going to be good for people because I'd rather see our tourists and other people consuming in a lounge like this than in their car in a parking garage or trying to sneak something into their hotel room.
I think if they pull it off financially and the model works for them, I think that maybe Nevada as a legislative body can decide we don't maybe need as stringent regulations as we have, and we could loosen up a little bit. I mean, this was not Amsterdam. You know, I've been to Amsterdam. I've been in the dens, the coffee shops there that allow marijuana usage. It was a very different vibe.
And it's not intimidating.
That's true.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's true.
Well, we know later this year, Planet 13, which is another immense space, is opening up a marijuana lounge with a restaurant. So we'll see how it turns out, and maybe we can convince our producers we need another outing.
I think that would be a good idea. Planet 13 is also opening up a tattoo parlor.
Oh, no. That sounds like a terrible idea.
The combination of being high and having a tattoo parlor nearby is not a winning combination in my eyes.
Well, we can finally go get our area codes tattooed on our thighs, as promised in an earlier episode. Gents, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, totally fun.
I mean, you have to be here. You work here. But thanks for talking to me.
High times indeed.
Puff, puff, pass.
That's all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. If you enjoyed this show, why not tell a friend and rate the show, leave us a review, and don't forget to subscribe to Rob's newsletter, Hey Las Vegas. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Take care. I mean, so after you all were feeling a little high, did you heart to heart?
It wasn't that kind of high.
Yeah, we didn't hug it out.
I'm disappointed, y'all.
But although we had a good time. We did do a little bonding, but it wasn't like it wasn't like we were brainstorming crazy ideas or anything like that.